Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks Podcast on KMBZ.
The show kind of stinks.
Good Monday afternoon.
Hello.
It's good to be with you, everybody.
As always, because I say it 5,000 times a day, and it's even on a t-shirt I made for Dana. 576-7798. Speaking of Dana, filling in today is the one and only Jamie Monticelli. Good afternoon.
Hello.
And thank you for your time. You're so kind, by the way.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
How are things?
Had a good weekend. Mom's Day was good and fun. And I did something I think I've only done one other time in the last year. I ate at a restaurant.
Oh, can I ask where you
went?
I don't mind. It's not Festivus Friday. We went to Styx. That's where she wanted to go for her Mother's Day. We normally will do brunch on Mother's Day, you know, and I take Kelly, I take my mom. And we all have a brunch on Mother's Day morning. We made reservations, but we talked to my mom. My mom's totally vaccinated. Everything's good. But she's still just, you know, my mom's kind of like, I've got a leg back in the water of the pool. My mom's got her big toe. She's not, She's super cautious and understandable. You know, she's got some comorbidities and all that stuff. And so we went ahead and booked the reservations for brunch. And I called her and I said, you know, whatever you're comfortable with, if you're not comfortable with it, then we won't do it. And we'll just do like a brunch here at the house. And she said, she said she's not there yet. And so I made brunch on Sunday morning for her and Kelly and the kids. And then Kelly wanted to go to Styx last night. And so we went there. And I'm telling you right now, America is, and I know I'm late to the party on this one, America is itching to get back to normal. That place, and it was, we had an early reservation, like 5 o'clock. That place was packed at 5 in the afternoon. I felt fine.
How was it?
I felt fine. I've been vaccinated and, you know, we're careful and I felt fine. I was wore my mask. We had some sanitizer that we would use after we would touch like the menu and everything else. But I felt fine. The anxiety that I would have felt, you know, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, it was not there.
Were people masked? Because a lot of places I went over the weekend, I was in the minority with a mask.
Okay, obviously, you're not masked at your table, but everybody was masked coming into the restaurant.
Okay.
But I'm telling you, here's the thing, you know, and Jamie, I'm sure you guys have talked about this as well. You hear all these stories and see all these stories about restaurants cannot get enough people to work right now. They just can't.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah.
And
there's not enough staff.
Yeah. And Styx was the same way. I mean, this is not an indictment on Styx at all. The food is great. We loved it. But there were, in just the area where we were seated, I noticed during the hour or so that we were there, there were three or four tables that, even though the place was packed, people were sitting outside waiting to get in. There were three or four tables near us that never had anybody sitting there, which tells me they don't have the wait staff to serve. Those, you know,
it's a bummer too, because Mother's Day is traditionally the biggest day of the year for restaurants. Mm-hmm. It's easily the busiest day of the year for restaurants. It's really where they make a lot of their money. And so the fact that in some places they're also seating every other table, but also they don't have the staff for everybody either. That's a real bummer.
And now I did not look up Wyandotte County's new policy on restaurant capacity. It could have had something to do with that. But one thing I did notice, and I don't know if you've seen this, Jamie, and I commented to at the table last night, you know, the wait was pretty bad. Well, let me backtrack that. That's not fair. There was a wait. I wouldn't say it was pretty bad because they were moving people in and out pretty quickly. But there was one lady who had a reservation for like 5 or 5:10 or something, and it was like 5:20, and she hadn't gotten her seat yet. And she went up to the poor kid at the front desk, and I always feel sorry because they're, you know, they're just trying to get you in, get your name, get you registered, right. Get, you know, what time's your reservation, whatever. And the lady goes up and goes, when are we, and she was mad, you know, when are we getting mm-hmm. seated? I'm not quoting directly, but close enough. When are we getting seated? And the young lady, God bless her, trying to keep her composure, she's like, well, you know, we're doing the best we can, but this and that, and she goes, well, it's 5:20. We had a 5:10 reservation. I'm thinking, and?
Oh,
and?
Mother's Day, man.
And then she barks at this poor kid. She goes, well, what's the point in making a reservation if we still have to wait? And I, you know.
First time in a restaurant?
Yeah, right. And so, and there was one or two other people that were kind of clearly agitated by this. And I turned to Kelly at one point and I said, you know, I truly believe we are the greatest country on the earth. I really do believe that. I said, but man, we are an angry, spoiled, rotten group of people.
We have talked about that a lot, particularly as it applies to airplanes. And I have not been on a flight yet since pre-pandemic. But when the FAA comes out and says that they have, they're warning airlines and they're warning passengers about the number of unruly behavior complaints they've had. By this time last year, and keep in mind we were in a pandemic where people didn't fly, by this time last year it had been 130 formal complaints that they'd had about behavior. And they've had 1,500 so far this year when people weren't really flying the first 2 months of the year. Yeah, we are on edge as a society.
Why?
For sure.
But here's and I understand, you know, the last year sucked. I mean, nobody's going to look back on 2020 and go, well, that was fun. I get that. But now that it, and I'm not saying it's over because it's not. I get it. But why, now that we're getting back to normal, or at least, you know, slowly but surely kind of becoming normal, air quotes, why are we so mad about it? I mean, you would think, by the way, I am going to invest as every free dollar that I have in the market because this economy is going to come roaring back. If restaurant lines are any indication and people just getting the hell out of Dodge just to do something. But if it is almost over, why are we so mm-hmm. mad about it? Or is it just pent-up anger and frustration?
I think for, at least for me, somebody just texted in and kind of echoed what I've been thinking too, is that I've been fully vaccinated for a little bit too. But I need some mental transition time before my anxiety drops. I find myself in a grocery store, still, my blood pressure goes up as soon as I walk into a grocery store. And I know it's fine, and I know I'm vaccinated, and I know that people have masks, but I do just find myself on edge a little bit more still. In fact, maybe more so than at the very beginning. Now, I'm not going to punch somebody on an airplane, and I'm not going to scream at a waitress or anything like that because I have a level of self-control. But I just wonder if other people don't have that same, you know, if we're just reacting more than we used to be. But yeah, it's not just you, Scott. It's all over the place.
From the text line, Jamie, 9464 writes, we witnessed horrible American anger at a restaurant that we went to last night. And
over what?
Over, damn it, I feel, and I'm not saying, I'm not speaking for me, I'm just paraphrasing what I think is the thought, are the thoughts of a lot of people. I've been cooped up for a year. I've tried to follow the rules. It's over, and I want to be served yesterday.
You are in restaurants on the busiest day of the year when restaurants are finally reopened, you know, kind of fully. Remember how restaurants used to be pre-pandemic? You waited for your reservation sometimes. Things have not changed. You had to wait. Guarantee 5 o'clock, not always. You're going to wait 10 or 15 minutes. The only thing I've noticed that's a little different about restaurants now is how they're handling that wait and how they don't let you just stand and mull around the waitress stand now or the hostess stand. Now you got to go outside or they're going to text you now about your reservation so that you're not just standing there gathered.
Oh, boy, we were. We were packed in like sardines last night, yeah.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Now, and I'll tell you this, if I had not been vaccinated, I would have just walked the hell out. If I hadn't been vaccinated, I wouldn't have even gone in.
Yeah.
And
I can tell things are back to normal. Plaza is crazy all the time now.
Is it? I haven't been on the Plaza
since. For me, it's based on, since when?
Probably 6 months ago, my daughter and I went to the bookstore. I have not eaten on the Plaza in well over a year.
I do not have a dedicated parking space. And so I'm just reliant on finding parking. And we're back to pre-pandemic. Don't want to have to find a parking space between 5 and 8 p.m. on a weeknight or on a weekend thing because it's people are back in full force.
Yeah. Hey, good to have you. Thank you, as always, for jumping in at the last minute. Jamie Monticelli filling in for Dana Wright. Telephone number here. And we have one line open if you want to grab it. 576-7798. Sam Stevie III is over there. She's Jamie. I'm Scott on KMBZ. Yeah, if you were a child of the 80s and remember the Whitesnake videos, Is This Love, which is this song, of course, or Here I Go Again, you may recall that Tawny Catane, who was married to David Coverdale at the time, was very provocative in her dancing in those movies, or in those videos. Sad news today, Tawny Catane has died at the age of 59.
You don't know the cause of death yet, right?
No.
You don't know what happened there?
No, her children, Winter and Rain, issued a statement that just reads, "We are heartbroken and saddened to announce the death of our mom. We miss her and love her, and we know her legacy will live on forever." She was sort of, well, she was in the movie Bachelor Party, if you remember that, with Tom Hanks in the early 80s, and then went on to date Robin Crosby from the band Rat, married David Coverdale and was in a bunch of Whitesnake videos, and then married Chuck Finley, the baseball player.
Okay.
And she was probably as famous for her marriages as she was for her divorces, which were never good. Never good. But anyway.
Did a stint on Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew?
Yeah. I don't know why, but I was reading about
rough
her
living?
A couple weeks ago. Yeah, she got into the rough living kind of lifestyle. And she was also on the show Botched because she had had some not good Kenny Rogers-esque facelifts. But anyway,
you can tell.
Yeah. Sad news today. Tawny Catane has died at the age of 59. Mm-hmm. We're getting back to the story we opened with earlier this hour, and that is the I'm not even going to say slow rollout of America again. It is a sprint as America has gone from, are we allowed to go out? Are we allowed to go out and eat? To, we're going out to eat. And, I mean, I went to a restaurant last night for the first time, only the second time since this all started.
And you ate indoors, Scott?
We ate indoors. Yes. Okay. And it was packed. And people, once they got their table and were eating, seemed very happy. It was that wait to get your table where America seemed, or at least this part of America that I was watching last night, seemed pissed. Like, America's mad. And I can't figure out why. Got their grouchy pants on.
I would think they would be more patient. Like, you didn't get to go do this thing for a long time. You're so happy to be there, and you'll tolerate anything. And I maybe naively expect people to be understanding about the staffing shortage. You know, I've been in a few places too. I'm just doing patio still, but I just accept you don't have as much staff. You don't know what kind of a crowd you're going to have, so you don't know how much staff to have. And I'm just like, whatever. I'm happy to be back out. Things are getting back to normal just a little bit, finally.
Yeah. From 8744, you're not joking, man. Stop. People are out in full force now. Let's go to Candace calling in from Mission. Hey, Candace.
Hi, guys. Well, to prove that Candace? Americans are not the only ones who can behave badly, I took my mom out last night to a fairly high-dollar place, and we walk in, and my mom's on a walker, so we're not moving very fast, but this family came up behind us, and they started asking for menus in their language, which was not English, and I understood their language. I don't want to say which one it was. But what was so odd about the situation was that they were having probably about their 8-year-old son translate their request to the staff, but they were doing it in a very angry way. Like, they came at it immediately from, like, we need to have this right now, and we expect you to have this for us. And the two 20-year-old girls staffing the front desk, their eyes were just huge as saucers. And this went on for a long time while I'm standing there with my mother on a walker who can barely hold herself upright. And I was just about to say, two, please, could you seat us? But I just thought it was so terrible that you're using your child as a vector for this anger, which was completely unfounded and bizarre.
Well, maybe he can interpret it in polite ease, which would be what my mom meant to say was, hello, and we are glad to be here. Can we get an order of chips, please, with the queso?
The kid was a superstar, but the person who was transmitting the message to him was out of control.
Would you tell your mother to kiss my and she can go?
Yeah, it was not nice.
All right, Candace, glad we got you in. Thank you for calling.
576. Thanks, Candace.
7798. And there's a similar story here from CNN. The headline is "Low Pay and Toxic Workplaces are driving workers away from restaurants." Let me just read a small portion of this. On a typical week in pre-pandemic times, about 15 people would walk into one of Patrick Whalen's casual, elegant restaurants seeking a job in the kitchen. From January 1st to April 15th of this year, a total of 15 people sought back-of-the-house positions at Tempest, Whalen's highly acclaimed South Carolina seafood restaurant. "It wasn't a shortage, it is a drought," says Whalen, owner and chief executive officer at North Carolina-based Fifth Street Group, which operates a handful of restaurants in the Southeast. "Tales of worker scarcity in the food and hospitality business have grown in volume in recent weeks as restrictions are loosening and an increasing number of restless, vaccinated patrons are opting to dine out instead of door dashing in."
So the story gets into wages being the problem, and that's why, and the story's been done here a lot too, about they can't find workers here either. Wages seem to be part of the issue. The other part of the issue seems to be extended unemployment benefits.
Yes.
And so you make more money by staying home than you do by going back to work.
Yes.
Or the safety issues. People don't want to be exposed to strangers anymore in restaurants like they did before.
Yeah, it's probably, as I think you're pointing out, a mixture of everything you just mentioned. The unemployment benefits, not the least of which, it was fascinating on, I think it was Friday of last week, and we mentioned it for a brief time during the show. The job numbers came out and they were anemic, to say the least, or at best. And to watch people from the administration trying to explain it away on TV interviews without putting the blame where they know it is, and that's on the fact that Americans are making more money sitting at home than they would be if they went out. I drove by a Sonic on Saturday down near like 103rd and, I don't know, Rogue, somewhere down in that area. And it just said, now offering higher pay.
Yeah.
Hey, Sonic is now saying, hey, man, all right. You won't come in for $8, $9 an hour, whatever. We'll pay you more. Just get in here because nobody is applying.
Chris Kiel, KMBZ's chief economist, said that September 4th, when the additional unemployment ends, those positions are likely going to fill up pretty quickly.
Yeah. Jamie?
Sorry about that, Sam. So we've done the story. There were a couple of stories out of Florida where they talked about signing bonuses that they were offering for restaurant employees. I mean, $1,000 just to take the job. Other restaurants were offering bonuses to actually come in and interview, because the problem is, and I think we're states that do this, where you require people to submit applications in order to be able to keep your unemployment. Right. All they have to do is apply. So they're incentivizing people just showing up for interviews to try to hire somebody. It's crazy.
576-7798, 576-7798. Quick break for the news, and we'll get to more of your calls and your comments in just a moment. Jamie Monticelli in for Dana Wright. Michael Mackey will be joining us after 4 o'clock this afternoon. He's Sam Stevie III on KMBZ. All right, welcome back. You're on hold. Hang tight. Sam will be with you in a minute. The man has one mouth, one ear to use with a phone, two arms, four lines, and no internet today here at the office.
Yes, currently no internet.
Again, maybe I shouldn't even say. Pleasantly surprised to be on the air, frankly.
It's Monday.
So,
what do you expect?
Or it could be Wednesday or Friday. I don't know why. It's a very high-tech building. There's a lot of really fancy equipment in that building, but internet's our issue lately.
There are, and I'm not kidding you. In this building alone, well, there are, what, 7 satellite dishes on the roof? Mm-hmm. Miles, literally miles of wires in this building. Miles. Yeah. I've seen the room where all the computers are stored. How is it that this one building, as nondescript as it is, right on the corner of Shawnee Mission Parkway and Metcalf, has internet issues every blanking day? Every day.
It's lately. It's not, we didn't have a problem for the first year of doing shows from home. It's in the last month that we've had the problem, it seems like.
Ever since Entercom became Odyssey.
Aren't we focused on, you know, digital stuff more?
All right, 576-7798. Okay, folks are texting in about our topic here at hand. I was in Sedona last week. Restaurants were closed a couple days a week because of a lack of workers. All right. Another texter writes in 6162. You could not pay me enough to work at a restaurant. People are dirty, germy, and quite frankly, just plain rude. And you were talking about the signing bonuses. One of the text lines has a restaurant in Harrisonville that's advertising a signing bonus of $100. We were talking last Friday about one restaurant, and why do I want to say it's in Lee's Summit, that has a $500 bonus. I think it's $200 if you're there after 60 days. You know, you come in, get hired, whatever, you work at whatever rate. If you're there after 60 days, $200. If you're there after 120 days, $300. So it's a $500 bonus.
Do you think it'll have any effect on wages? Do you think it'll cause any restaurants to just raise the base pay?
I really do. And I'm with Sam and Chris Kiel, who's smarter than Sam and I put together. But, you know, come September, when these additional unemployment benefits run out, there's probably going to be a mad dash at all these, you know, apply within or help wanted sign locations. However, until then, probably not. But what, as far as, you know, people rushing out to get jobs, but places like that Sonic at 103rd and Row, and every business that I walked by at a strip mall last week that had help wanted signs out, and it was all but one, by the way, all but one had help wanted signs up. They can't wait until September. And so, yes, I think wages are going to have to go up. If you want people to walk in that door, you're going to have to pay them.
I would love to hear from someone who is in hospitality particularly restaurants, and not having trouble. What are you doing right? Mm. If you're not having trouble recruiting workers, or your previous staff came back, what are you doing that the rest of us need to learn from?
Let's go to Jake in Platt. What's up, man?
What up, Scott? Well, I mean, if they weren't such cheap, you know what? You'd have better internet.
That is true.
So, well, I mean, dude, it's everybody. Nobody can find help. I mean, we're paying super great, and I can't even get a single application. But I you know, I'll tell you what. It was easier for me to stop and get fast food somewhere in the height of the pandemic than it is now, because obviously I can't take my vehicle through the drive-through. But most of the normal places I try to stop and get something to eat, I can't get anything because they can't open up because they ain't got no help. I tried taking my wife and my daughter to a diner there in Leavenworth on Mother's Day there, and there was two people running the whole place, and it wasn't even busy. We waited about 15 minutes. We finally got acknowledged, me and another couple two couples that came in about the same time. And eventually we got sat down about 15, 20 minutes after waiting to get some drinks. Me and just about all those other people, we finally left in disappointment because we really wanted to eat there. But I can't wait till September.
All right, man. Hey, glad we got you in. Mixed bag from the text line here, 8960. Pay a living wage. Provide benefits if you want workers. The free market is at work. Okay.
Yeah.
But from 9836, what do you expect when the government is paying them more to stay at home? And lastly, my daughter's fast food restaurant offered her a $100 bonus to stay on.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I mean, this is how a free market works, right?
Yeah.
This is exactly how it should work.
And these $500 signing bonuses are $100 here, $100 there, $500 at this one restaurant that we were talking about, if you stay a certain amount of time. Those are all well and good until your current employees say, whoa, 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 hey, man, hey, what about us? You know, we stuck with you through thick and thin. We never quit. Where's my $500? And that's a fair argument to make.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, because if you're going to pay them $500 to stay, I was planning to stay, but right now I quit and you can hire me back tomorrow.
And the free market statement is kind of a stretch when one of the main reasons that people aren't going back to work is because of the additional assistance.
Right.
Fair point. Let's go to Andrew in Kansas City. Andrew, what's up?
Hey, thanks for having me again.
Of course.
I was calling because I think this is a good thing that the workers are able to not go back to companies that are refusing to pay them a living wage. I think this allows them to put pressure on the businesses that they otherwise would not have been. And if these were companies that were leaving an area of high taxes for an area of low taxes, we'd be congratulating them, even though that would also be a government policy. So I think this is a good thing, and it may help to increase wages and make better working conditions. And as a person mentioned earlier who called in, and was talking about the group who came in regarding the menus. Yeah. That is something they also have to go in and the workers have to go in and deal with. It's not just them going in and flipping burgers. They have to deal with the public as well.
Now, let me ask you this, though, Andrew. You see the potential for businesses having to pay more money to get people just to come in the door. And I think between now and September, we're going to see that without question. Hell, I mean, when Sonic is advertising on its screen board outside, we're paying higher wages. Come on in. Which, by the way, everybody who's still there better be getting the same higher wages, if you will. But this is not the free market at work, as Sam pointed out and the text lines exploded with here. It is not the free market when your competition is the government.
I don't think the free market is what we should be turning to. We have to look to alternatives to the capitalist system.
Okay, which would be what?
More of what we have now. If the businesses refuse to do it, the government can step in and allow the workers to have more leeway and put pressure on these businesses that refuse to.
Are you trying to say socialist without saying socialist?
I will use the term, but I don't want to be political on your channel.
Fair, do appreciate it. Thank you, my friend.
I like someone that takes that into account. That's awesome. That's great.
Crafty. He's a crafty
one.
How
is tipping lately? How much did you tip, Scott?
I tipped 20% last night.
Okay. I wonder how tipping is going, because tipping was up for a while. And would that help? I just kind of wonder what conditions workers are facing in restaurants. We just spent 30 minutes talking about the bad behavior of people that are going into restaurants. I wouldn't want to work in an environment like that.
Hell no. But, you know, the one thing, and we were talking about this at dinner last night, I would hope that the young lady who I felt bad for, the young lady who was behind the counter with the, well, we made a reservation. What good is a reservation if we don't get seated right on time? Well, either A, the last year completely wiped your memory bank, or B, this is your first time into a restaurant. But I would hope that this poor young lady who is dealing with this person recognizes that that's not how everybody is. Hopefully it's not how the vast majority of people are. And to just remember, it's not personal. This person is just having their moment, and I use moment in air quotes, and the best thing you can do, is just politely say, well, we're doing the best we can, and don't let it get to you. Don't let her bad mood affect your good mood. And just, hey, we're doing the best we can, and we will seat you as soon as possible. I mean, it's not like there's a conspiracy not to seat you, lady.
Right, right.
We're not in
right.
the back going, you know, 515 reservation.
Actually, the more of a stink she raises, they probably
sure,
are.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
it's funny. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, please.
Sorry. So the text line just made a point that is worth talking about for a second about how you got to wonder if restaurants are going to have to do signing bonuses, then are they going to pass that on to restaurant goers then? Or are you going to end up paying higher prices on restaurant menus because they're having to pay workers more? And I wondered this a couple of weeks ago. For the first time in a while, I had seen like a COVID-19 tax at a restaurant, or a fee, or whatever you want to call it, the special thing that they were charging. And I thought, well, when's that going to go away? I was okay paying it, but it struck me as odd that we were still paying that. So you combine that we're paying more of, plus pick a thing. We've got a shortage of everything right now. And so at some point, prices for those goods are going to go up. Coffee's the last story we did this morning about coffee prices going up because there's a shortage of coffee. Then how much are consumers going to be willing to pay all of that?
I haven't seen a story that reflects this, but have you looked at the prices of strawberries lately?
No.
I don't know if there's a shortage.
I don't buy those very often.
Beg your pardon?
That's not something I buy.
Oh, okay. Well, it is for us. And man, good night, moon. I don't know if there are like no strawberries left in this world or what, but jeesh. 576-7798 from the text line, and we'll get to a quick break and get to more of your calls and comments. Our restaurant is beyond busy. With the addition of the new carryout surge to expanding capacity as well, we make more than minimum wage and have great patrons and still cannot find help. We can't get days off, and breaks have never been normal now. Okay. Just tipped $6.50 on a $10.50 bill. Just trying to help the lady. Good. Good for you, man. 576-7798.
Today I don't feel like doing anything. I just want to lay in my bed. Don't feel like picking up my phone, so leave a message at the tone. Cause today I swear I'm not doing anything.
Nope.
I'm going to kick my feet up and stare at the fan. Turn the TV on.
All right, welcome back. So he says, R.E., the price of strawberries. Look up the Driscoll Berries boycott. Okay, blah, blah, blah. All right. Apparently, there's some sort of boycott. But grapes, by the way, also.
Oh.
Very expensive.
I apparently don't buy enough fruit.
Apparently
that's
not.
That's what I'm realizing the last few minutes. Because all this is news to me. So, apples. That's the most thing I buy is apples, I think.
Let's go to Tyler in Independence. Hello, Tyler.
Hey, greetings and salutations.
Same.
Hey, great to hear you guys' voice. Hey,
you too.
I've called a few times. I'm basically waiting around as a stagehand, but I have COVID jobs. I've been on unemployment from the get-go, but I haven't received any benefits because I have excessive earnings probably in the last 2 months because I keep working in the COVID jobs, coaching, swimming, and doing other things. But on the service, what we're looking at traditionally, that has been basically a gateway profession for a lot of people for education. Like I did, I worked on the plaza at a Northern Italian restaurant off 46th and Terrace, as well as a bar across the street from a tennis court that's no longer there, along the 63rd Street, doing three jobs while I was trying to make a theater happen back in the 90s, wanting to be a stagehand. A lot of people do these jobs service-wise so they can go off and get their master's or their law degrees or whatever. Well, during this pandemic, people just went off and said, I got this benefit money. I'm going to go and make that happen now. So they're skipping this gateway profession and not doing the jobs, which would be a part-time jobs that are going on.
Tyler, let me jump in real quick because you've called in many times. You work in stage work. You're a stagehand, put up the act, take down the act, all that stuff, right?
Copy that, yeah.
Yes. Have you heard, is there any rumbling in your industry when concerts are going to start roaring back? Because, I mean, yeah. I understand people want to get out to restaurants. I cannot wait. And I'm telling you, speaking of spoiled rotten, which is a term I used at the beginning of the 2 o'clock hour to describe us as people, Americans, I will never, ever let an act come to town again and think to myself, I'll get them next time.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Very good point.
Without you know, getting ahead of my skis within the office of what we do, we're on pins and needles. Because we've got opportunity this week for some shows that are coming up. There's at T-Mobile, there is a comedy show that's coming in that we're taking part in. And I can tell you right now, it's for our end, very small call. It's not Pink. It's not AC/DC. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I get it. But, yeah, comedy doesn't require, you know, no. Pyrotechnics and lasers and all that stuff. I get it.
No, but it's a start, and what it is the audience, because we've taken care of our protocols, getting ourselves tested, doing our stuff, all this, having to get perhaps vaccine to even to be able to work. Now, it's really going to be a litmus test with the audience as they come in. Like, for instance, on that Disney show that we had.
Disney on Ice, yeah.
Yeah, Disney on Ice. The audience, the staff, everyone performed perfectly. That building performed perfectly. We've got thumbs up regionally for everything to get started. We just have to go and wait it out to make sure we do it so we don't, you know, go backwards. And a lot of these who we work for, these production companies, these venues, really have a lot at stake here because if they open up too early or whatever it happens, it takes a lot of time for a production to get up. You've got stage management, designers. You got all logistics to get 7, 8, 12 semi-trucks going out there. So if we all do our job when we go to these venues, mask up or do what they ask us to do, it's going to come in a lot easier. People are going to want to go off and start investing money and get out there. There are so many people. Just think, Scott, how many great musicians have been at home in their studios working out problems that they can't wait to share with you.
Well, I can't wait to hear how awful their lives are and how much they've drank and how many girlfriends have broken up with them. I cannot wait.
Copy that, man. It's going to be exciting.
All right, man. Be good, Tyler. I'll see you soon, man. But they did the Vax Live concert last week in L.A., 20,000 people in attendance. Hopefully that will not be a super spreader. And if they can pull that off, then they can open up T-Mobile. And you heard the news during your show today. The Chiefs are going full capacity this fall. So if we can jam 78,000 screaming Chiefs fans into Arrowhead, we can get 18,000 into T-Mobile.
We just got to get people vaccinated.
I just want to see people breathing fire, spitting blood, and lasers trying to blind me. That's all I want.
Standards are very low.
Very low.
You know?
Jamie Monticelli filling in for Dana Wright. That guy over there is Sam Stevie. Quick break, and then we'll get back to more here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.